That's quite a big reading that we have today for Remembrance Sunday. We're only going to be able to just touch on it very lightly. God will speak to us through whatever we hear, because we as Christians believe that the Bible is God's inspired holy word. The Spirit of God works in and through the words of the Bible. So as we come to just scratch the surface of this reading this morning, may God be with you in all that we think about. And we're remembering, this service is included an act of remembrance. We're wearing poppies. Some of you might have seen the moving act of remembrance on television last night. We're remembering today. But we're remembering in the context of Christian worship. In other words, we're remembering in the context of praise and worship of the living God, the one and only true, holy, and completely good God. That is the context of our remembering. And if it was purely, simply, just an act of remembrance on its own, we could do that anywhere and in any way and use any words. But we and millions of others throughout the country today, at memorials and communities and in churches and cathedrals, have chosen to remember very specifically within a Christian church context, among a family of believers in Jesus Christ, the Christ who came to this world for everyone and who is, for those who make that choice, that step of faith to believe in him and follow him and accept him as Lord of their lives, who is the source of hope, both now and forevermore. And some of the beautiful songs that we've already sung and hymns that we've sung this morning have reflected and spoken of that hope. The word eternity has come up more than once, I think, in our singing. And that hope is a hope that remains whatever the world can throw at them. Whatever awful things people do to each other, the hope we are speaking about is a hope that remains through that and out the other side. A few weeks ago, and I'm sure probably before, I can't remember now, it happens when you get a bit older. It's nothing to do with memory, by the way, when you can't remember. I say to my children, just a diversion, nothing to do with the fact that I can't remember. It's just that I have increasingly loaded up so many more memories in my filing cabinet of life. It just takes me longer to pull out the filing cabinet to find that memory. Don't you agree, everybody? Anyway, a few weeks ago, I spoke about my grandfather sometime I can't remember when. Grandpa Tompkins. And both my grandparents served, my grandfather served in the First World War. And Grandpa Tompkins served, you'll remember some of you me saying, in the army in France. And he was a driver in the trenches, going backwards and forwards from the front line. And I mentioned, I think, that we discovered his soldier's diary. I have his soldier's diary from that time. Very small little pocket diary. And this diary contained very, very few entries indeed. But just the occasional sentence as to some description of some awful horror that he witnessed. Just three or four words about it, and he obviously felt he needed to place it somewhere. That's all it contains. Many pages are empty. But he served. And dear Grandpa Tompkins also ended up having what people called the shakes. Not Alzheimer's, not Parkinson's, not Parkinson's. My mum had Parkinson's. It wasn't that. He had the shakes, which came from shell shock, what people called shell shock. The incessant bombing and crashing of all the shells around them was so traumatic that people had sort of physically manifested stress and trauma as a result of it for the rest of their lives. And Grandpa was one of those. And he had that as long as I knew him and remembered him. So he had all those experiences, that horror of war, and the physical witness to it from what happened to him. But he is also someone who always had hope. Grandpa Tompkins always had hope based on his Christian faith. His faith in and belief in the overwhelming goodness of God, in spite of all the things that he saw and went through. And for him, that hope was realized when he met his Lord and Savior face to face. In our gospel reading, Luke 21, verses 5 to 19, in this gospel reading, Jesus is responding to comments that were made by his disciples, his followers, about the stunningly beautiful physical temple in Jerusalem, an extraordinary building in Jerusalem, the city of God, covered with beautiful stones and engravings. And Jesus was responding to their admiration of this temple. And in his response, he said some pretty apocalyptic things. And by that I mean things about the end times. That's what that word apocalyptic, apocalypse, refers to. He said some pretty powerful things, which they must have been very surprised at and possibly rather confused about. We live in turbulent times today, don't we? Tragic and violent war in the Middle East, which threatens to spread to other networks of hate and violence. The ongoing grinding war due to Russia's invasion of Ukraine and attempts there to smother freedom. The rise of racist behavior, rhetoric, and intolerance in nations which we have always looked to as beacons of freedom and tolerance. The apparent normalization, even in our own country, of things like food banks and warm spaces when people still go hungry and cold. That shouldn't be normal, should it? We live in turbulent and changing times. And in Jesus' time, very dramatic events, including things like earthquakes or great disasters, were often thought of as being signs about the imminent rise and fall of kings and empires. If something dramatic happened like that, they were looking at it and seeing, what sign is this showing us about what is going to happen in our world? And when Jesus spoke about such frightening things happening, as he does in this reading, this is probably what his disciples, his followers, had in mind when they were listening. Thinking about, what does this mean about the kings and the emperors and the empires of our times now? And if they were to happen, surely, his disciples must have thought, Jesus would give them a sign about this. He would give them a sign to warn them that it would be about to happen. However mighty and splendid such an ancient building as a physical temple in Jerusalem is or was, covered in all those sparkly stones and in its size and grandeur, however mighty or splendid such a building is, however many hundreds of years it has stood there, Jesus said that even this will come to an end sometime, like all things in this world as we know them will come to an end sometime. But what Jesus wants his disciples to learn here is that there will also be a period of waiting. a period of waiting when they will need to be patient and faithful through times that are hugely difficult and testing. The God of all goodness and love will be with us forever. And Jesus also speaks here of the time when he will come again in glory and judge all the earth. And of course, he was speaking to his disciples here before his death and resurrection. But he was anticipating that. And also the time when he would return again in glory at the end of time. And when there will be a temple and a new city of God, which would replace this physical temple in the heart of Jerusalem, which even in those times had come to symbolize so much that was wrong about people's relationship with God and his people. So when we think of wars and famines and the individualistic age in which we live, you and I could perhaps be forgiven for thinking that perhaps that time of Jesus' coming again in glory is not so far away. Perhaps it is, perhaps it isn't. And I want to encourage you that as Christians, one of the simplest prayers is also one of the most powerful. To pray, "Come, Lord Jesus," is a great prayer. That is not praying away the beauty and the love that we experience now, but it is praying towards and into the infinitely more beautiful and more wonderful time that will come one day when Jesus comes again in glory, when we also know him face to face. In the meantime, we are called, says Jesus in this passage to his disciples, to remain faithful and hopeful, trusting in that promise of what is to come. He also refers, you will see in the reading, to false prophets. Many people will come pretending to be me or doing things in my name. And there are plenty of those, aren't there? Be alert. Watch out for them in your lives. We will know, and we do know, the one true Jesus Christ by his goodness, his grace, and his love. And anyone who comes pretending to be Jesus or acting in his name is soon shown up by the grace and glory of God's holy word here. But are we to feel alone during this time of waiting? No. Well, Jesus was indicating here that there would be a time when he would no longer be physically present with his disciples, with his followers. He does say that they will never be unsupported. So even at this time, they didn't understand what he was referring to, and it would all be made clear later on. Even at this time, he began to explain about the fact that he would be with them and he would always support them. Are you perhaps someone who doesn't fully understand what Jesus means for you and to you today? And do you perhaps carry a fear in your lives without knowing that fully? Well, can I encourage you? That is what faith is about. Faith is about taking a step of belief in someone or something that you fully don't know yet and understand, but you trust enough of, and you know enough of, and you see enough of, to know that that person is beautiful and good and whole and worthy of your trust. And then, having taken that step of faith, in trust, you trust that his goodness and beauty and wholeness will be revealed to you more and more as you walk a new journey with him. Verse 14 and 15 of our reading. "So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance," says Jesus.
For I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to understand.
That is not just the words that Jesus physically spoke, which we have recorded here in the Bible. Those are the words that are given to us and the defences that God provides us with through the guidance of his Holy Spirit, always with us. We will never, ever be alone and without God in this world.
The followers of Jesus will always have his presence through his Spirit. He will give us everything we need. I understand that it is easy for us to feel overwhelmed on a day like today.
And, you know, when we talk about things in the Bible which sound very apocalyptic, it is easy to feel overwhelmed, especially when we are exposed to this endless minute-by-minute news reporting from every corner of the world. I had a really, really bad few hours early on in the week. And when I reflected on it, I thought perhaps this is what some of our relatives who've gone before us felt like sometimes in moments of great fear. Perhaps those who were living in between the wars and having experienced some dreadful war were looking at the state of the world and fearing for the youngsters and the generation who are coming and carried that fear in their hearts. I had a day early on in the week where I really felt, I felt the darkness of what was around us. But I surfaced by sitting with my Bible and reading Psalms 1 and 2. And those of you who are regulars here will know that we are doing a series on the Psalms, praying the Psalms, how to use the Psalms to pray. And Psalms 1 and 2 at the beginning of that series are all about setting the scene for us, sort of rooting us ready for prayer, reminding us both in our personal capacity and about God in the world, that God has got us. And having sat with those psalms, can't remember where I was, whether I was sitting or lying, but anyway, having spent time with those psalms and got my head back in place and felt rooted again, I was okay. I understand that it's easy to feel overwhelmed. People of peace and grace and truth will be and often do feel very much in the firing line of anger and fear and evil. But be reminded by this reading to stay faithful to Jesus, not just for the now, but for the long term, and stay hopeful. Because the redemption of all things is coming. It is promised. And Jesus is also saying that this glorious event of his coming again in glory at the end of time is not something that we can control. I know some people think that they can control people, nations, finance, whatever it might be, the narrative of what is truth. Some people think genuinely they can do that, but they can't. Brothers and sisters, God has got this. In spite of what we see, God has got this. And God will work his purposes out in this world for the good. God is faithful. And if we endure by and with the power of God's Holy Spirit, if we are faithful ourselves, faithful to God, faithful in the hope that we have for our lives and for God's purposes for our lives, then you and I too will realize that hope in all its wonderful glory, beauty, and holiness. Hundreds of years ago, a Christian man named Clement of Alexandria wrote, "If you do not hope, you will not find what is beyond your hopes." If you do not hope, you will not find what is beyond your hopes.
The hope that we have now is not some sort of vain and temporary hope that will just stop, like when you get to a big traffic jam in the road and don't feel you're going anywhere. It's not like that. We hope so that we know what is beyond the hope that we have now. And not only will we know it, but we will find it. In other words, there is so much more to our lives than what we see today, what we have today, what we experience today. And if we don't ever look beyond this, we will only ever meet that dead end. The old temple in Jerusalem, said Jesus, would be thrown down. But there is a new temple. And that new temple is the church of Jesus Christ, made up of the people within that church. Men and women, boys and girls of faith in Jesus Christ. You and me, with Christ himself as the head, as the cornerstone, as this reading refers to. Faith, endurance, perseverance, and hope are the ways in which we offer God the fallen stones, if you like, of our own worldly temples. And stone by stone, God rebuilds our lives. Stone by stone, God restores the original beauty of life and the world. And stone by stone, a new temple rises out of the rubble of the old. Stone by stone, you and I, as we grow closer and closer to Jesus Christ, become that temple of God. We are the temple, loved and supported by Jesus Christ, the Lord of all heaven and earth. And this is the good news of hope that needs to be told into our families, our communities, and our world. Now, today, whatever life throws at us, whatever life throws at others throughout the world, we have good news to proclaim, as that hymn says. Good news to proclaim throughout the earth. And, friends, this is our time now to testify. Today, especially, we're remembering men and women who over the years have fought for and sacrificed their lives for our freedom. They have paid the ultimate price. As God in Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price in his sacrifice for us on the cross, so that we might know his freedom too. We remember those men and women who have paid the ultimate price, so that you and I can continue to have hope, and also so that you and I can look forward to what is beyond that hope. And it is in Jesus Christ that all people can ultimately find that perfect freedom. The hymn that we sung some of the verses of today, well-known old hymn, ended with great words, slightly different in the original version. I just looked it up on my phone, and I'll read it now. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, be thou our guard while troubles last, and our eternal home. Put your trust and hope in God, who is love. Place your faith in the living Lord Jesus Christ, who shows us the way now and forever. And then We'll get through this life and see the new Jerusalem, the new city of God, where, as we read in Holy Scripture, there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, and where everything will be made new. Amen.